anyone tell you that our country is weak. We're not. Don't let anyone tell you we don't have what it takes. We do. And most of all, don't believe anyone who says, I alone can fix it.
Hillary Clinton throwing Donald Trump's words from last week back at him in her speech last night, accepting her party's nomination. Today, we spoke with people as they headed into Hillary Clinton's rally right around the corner from us on the Temple University campus.
It's awesome. I love Hillary, the Clintons. I started with Bill's campaign back in the 80s, and I'm happy to be working on Hillary's campaign. She broke the glass ceiling. It's a monumental day, and I'm excited, and I can't wait. She's going to win, and we're going to have a woman, Madam President.
I'm just pumped up. I'm just filled with so much joy and excitement. I've been watching the conventions basically all week, staying up till 1 or 2 a.m. to see all the coverage. It's been so exciting. I just wanted to be part of this historic moment. I mean, it's in my city, and especially after being so pumped up by the convention during the past few days, I just feel like I had to be here in person and experience it myself.
It's so monumental to be here with my mom, who raised me as a feminist, and to be here with my daughter, who I'm raising as a feminist. It's just, I can't even put it into words. It's the most wonderful thing. I've been crying all week. It's just awesome.
Always a feminist.
You were. I cried when she accepted the nomination.
I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime, so it's really great.
I'm super nervous, but this is probably the best thing I'm going to do all weekend.
Yeah, like, I'm just happy that there's going to be a woman president and that she's a Democrat and she's awesome.
Pearl and Sasha Miller before that, Cecily and Ann Kellogg, Betsy Elijah and Larry Wiegand-Jackson, Lori, Wiegand-Jackson, heading into Hillary Clinton's rally today. Donald Trump also weighed in on Clinton's speech this morning in a statement. He called Clinton's speech an insulting collection of cliches and recycled rhetoric. As usual, the only ones not throwing shade, our Friday roundtable singers.
Here and now, 2016.
They are always so cheery. Joining us, Greg Moore, former editor of the Denver Post. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Ron, welcome to you as well.
Hello, Robin.
And let's get right to it. Last night, were you surprised, Ron, by there seemed to be almost a party role reversal in the conventions? Patriotism and optimism from the Democrats, but also shouts of USA flags waving, doom and gloom from Republicans. And by the way, did Democrats risk overdoing that because of the anti-war Bernie supporters they needed to woo?
Well, the anti-war Bernie supporters were part of the reason that you saw that great display of patriotism. Only part. Don't want to overemphasize that. But those enormous flags that people were waving that looked like those big flags they use at car dealerships to attract attention, those had something to do with wanting to keep the cameras focused on what the campaign organizers wanted focused on, and not on the efforts of some of the Sanders, not all the Sanders, but some of the Sanders delegates, to bring forward their anti-war positions. They were chanting no more war. They were chanting angrily at General John Allen, who was one of the speakers. And they really wanted to bring forward the part of the Democratic Party that has long had a definite component of anti-war sentiment, back to the Vietnam War, particularly in the 1960s and the famous history. But that was alive on the floor last night, maybe not as audible to the television audience as it was to the people in the arena, but the organizers wanted to make sure that didn't steal the show. So that's why the big flags, and to some degree, that's why the super patriotic programming.
Yeah, well, and Greg, just overall, how did you think it went last night? Did Hillary Clinton in particular do what she needed to do?
Yeah, I think she did what she needed to do. I just thought that convention really displayed the diversity of America. It looked like the America that, you know, certainly I'm familiar with. And it was, a real different view from what the Republicans put on in Cleveland. But I thought she stuck to the issues. I think she painted an optimistic picture of America. And she also, I think, tried to draw a great contrast between her experience and her ability and readiness to lead versus Donald Trump, who she, you know, belittled as someone who could be easily provoked by a tweet and maybe provoke a nuclear war. That's basically right. What she tried to do.
Right, that's what she said. But did she overcome the perception, the narrative? That seems to be one of the buzzwords this week, the narrative of the week, which is that somehow all these people who know her, and it's astonishing how many people had personal testimony about her, that somehow they know a different Hillary Clinton that the electorate knows, that, you know, much of the electorate doesn't trust her, that she can sometimes come across colder in person mm-hmm. than she to a crowd than she is personally. Ron, do you think that she overcame that? Because I thought it was so interesting. There was this beautiful video prior to her speaking. She's so warm, you know, so one-on-one. And then when she comes out to speak publicly, it's different.
At one point, she said herself that in terms of public service, she's always been more comfortable with the service than the public, and she is not great at projecting her personal qualities when she is in a totally public situation, such as giving a speech. So you heard criticism today of the tone of her speech, that it was perhaps a little too harsh. There may be some sexism kind of around the edges of that criticism, but that it was too strong, that she was too strident. And we will hear that as the campaign goes on. And sometimes in her speech, she hit another note where it sounded more like stern but loving mother kind of thing, more of a certainly feminine but at the same time very strong leadership kind of quality that came across in the video, but I don't think has come across very well in Clinton's past campaigns or in much of her public role. That has not been conveyed very well.
Well, and by the way, I know the tweets are flying about nobody ever asks about, you know, whether a man is stern or whether, you know, and we understand that. But again, it's this, you know, this issue of perception and what the voters think. And she did address
Robin,
that. She said, oops, go ahead. Go ahead, Greg.
Now, Robin, one thing I think is important here is that, you know, Hillary has some self-inflicted wounds where, you know, she's prone to secrecy and, you know, she's overly defensive and she's, you know, quick to sort of invoke conspiracies when things go awry. And I thought that one of the things that was really good about this convention was showing that this is a woman who's had a long history of being involved in making things better for women and children and trying to deal with some of the persistent social issues that plague this country that can be easily overshadowed by the controversies of the moment. And that, I thought, was a very effective thing that humanized her in a way that even people who've known her in public life for 25 or 30 years went, oh, yeah, you know what? I forgot about that. And I thought that was pretty effective.
Let's listen to her talking about how she knows that she is, to some people, kind of a policy wonk.
So it's true. I sweat the details of policy, whether we're talking about the exact level of lead in the drinking water in Flint, Michigan, the number of mental health facilities in Iowa, or the cost of your prescription drugs. Because it's not just a detail if it's your kid, if it's your family. It's a big deal. And it should be a big deal to your president, too.
It has been astonishing. Again, to your point, Greg, you know, when you were reminded of how many stations of the cross there were along the way for Hillary Clinton, she has done so much in her career. But also, I want to just touch on the different voices that came to sort of be her Greek chorus last night. And one of the most memorable, Kaiser Khan. This is the father of the Muslim American soldier killed in Iraq. And I mean, they're all heroic, but in an incredibly self-sacrificing way. He challenged Donald Trump. He said, you've never gone to Arlington Seminary. You've never sacrificed. Also kind of challenged Trump's sense of who an American is. Let's listen.
Donald Trump, you're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy.
Greg, weigh in.
Just a very poignant moment. You know, I thought one of the things that he said that was so great is that when you go to Arlington, people of all faiths, nationalities, and ethnicities have fought and died for this country, and that, you know, trying to divide people by race or religion or what have you is not what the country has been about. It was about as eloquent a speech as I heard all week, and the fact that this was you know, a guy of the Muslim faith just made it all the more pointed. It was really a remarkable political moment.